On this Sunday where we remember the baptism of Jesus, there's a lot that could be said about that, but it's also an opportunity to come and to think about our own baptism. There are parallels, but there are also differences between the two. But I'm reminded of a story as I think about our baptism, and even to some extent Jesus's, from Alex Haley's book, Roots, where there was a memorable scene where the night the slave Kunta Kinte drove his master to a ball at the plantation house. Kunta Kinte heard the music from inside the house, music from the white folks' dance. He parked the buggy and he settled down to wait out the long night of his master's partying. And while he sat in the buggy, he heard other music coming from somewhere else. It was different music, music with a different rhythm. He felt his legs carrying him down the path towards the cabins from where that music was coming, and there he found a man playing African music, the music which he remembered hearing as a child, the music he had almost forgotten. Kunta Kinte found that the man was from his section of Africa, and they talked excitedly in his native language about home and about the things of home. That night, after bringing his master back from the dance, Kunta Kinte realized he had been changed. He went home and he laid upon the dirt floor of his little cabin and he wept. For him, the terrifying, degrading experience of slavery had almost obliterated his memory of who he was, of where he had come from. But the music had helped him remember. We as Christians need to remember as well. We need to remember who we are. I remember a scene from Finding Nemo. It's the scene with the seagulls. Nemo's dad and Dora find themselves on a dock, and they have some food, and the seagulls can be heard in a chorus overhead saying, "Mine, mine, 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 mine." There was a reason that they were referred to in the movie as rats with wings. But sometimes we can feel like that as Christians, where we can have this cacophony of sounds claiming us, telling us that we belong to it. There are places, there are things everywhere placing their claim upon us, and we can lose our identity in this world rather easily. We can forget who we are. Who am I is a good question to ask. And unless we have an answer for that, there's always somebody else willing to tell us who we are. Who am I? If you look at the movies and the soap operas and sitcoms and a lot of the music that's out there, we are primarily sexual beings, seeking pleasure through others and being sought after by others. Our body is a tool to be used for pleasure, and we are identified by how attractive we are, how much pleasure we are for other people to look at. Who am I? Our educational systems want to tell us we are simply rational beings, that it's our brain that matters the most. Our brain is what's really important. It's what we think. It's how we can solve problems. Who you are is not nearly as important as your GPA or your SAT scores, or how much return on an investment you can bring for your employer. Who am I? Corporate America tells us that we are a consumer, a maker and spender of money. Do you want to know if you are worth anything? Then tell someone how much stuff you have, how nice your new car is, how big your house is. How much do you earn? Where are you able to take vacations? How many hours a week are you willing to work? For some, 50, 60, 70. That's what makes you important in the eyes of corporate America. Who am I, we can ask. The secular humanist will tell you that you are a self-made autonomous being, And to make it in this world, you have to look out for number one. If you don't look out for yourself, nobody else is going to. Pull yourself up by your own bootstraps and see how high you can climb up the ladder. And if you happen to step upon a few other people on the way up, that's okay, because it's really about you and what you can accomplish. We could go on and on with what the world will tell us about who we are. And it is a question that we should continually ask ourselves. And sometimes we ask it of ourselves too, sometimes in a doubting way. Who am I? Who am I when once again you fall into that sin that you just can't seem to shake? Who am I, you might ask, that you can't beat this thing, that you can't make good on your commitment and your promises to God? As Christians, we might wonder who we are when we fail again to take time and read and pray daily. Who are we that we can't often set aside 15 minutes a day to spend with God, sometimes ever, sometimes for more than a few days, without realizing that, oh my goodness, we forgot to do it again? Who are we that we can go from Sunday to Sunday, sometimes with so little attention being paid to nurturing our faith? Sometimes when things get tough, you might find yourself asking that same question. Who am I? Who am I when it seems like God has abandoned you in the dark times of life? Who am I when it seems like no one may care, or like the world is out against me? Who am I is an important question for us. And there's lots of ways to find answers, but this morning I want to introduce you the idea that when it comes to answering the question who we are, we need to look no further than the font, no further than the waters of baptism. I made a decision a long time ago when it came to baptisms and maybe someday the weddings of my children, that I was going to play daddy and not pastor. And so as my kids came to be baptized, when we had our first child, Kelsey, a friend of mine from Australia was still in seminary at Asbury Theological Seminary, and so I asked him to come and do the baptism, and I just played the role of dad. As a gift, he gave Kelsey a book. And it was called Remember Who You Are, a model for Christian Life. I was struck by that. I have to admit, although he gave it to her, I read it because she wasn't quite at the age where she could read it yet. I even read the inscription he wrote to her in the front. I don't know if that's eavesdropping or not, but I was her dad and she was about 2 months old, so too bad. But Remember Who You Are was the title of the book. Remember who you are. Baptism means many things. But one of the things I want us to focus on this morning is that it means that the baptized person now belongs to God. They are claimed by God. Even in Jesus' baptism, "You are my son," the voice from heaven proclaimed. The church has believed for a long time that through the waters of baptism, God is claiming you, much like through an adoption ceremony. Had the opportunity to go to an adoption ceremony once, and essentially through a legal process, had the judge come to a point in time where they said to that child, "You now are theirs. You are their child." That's the gift that God gives us in baptism. God reaches down and speaks to us through baptism those words, "You are mine." He gives us a new identity, a new family. I'm told of places in South America where it's common when a child is baptized that the pastor will hold the child up and parade them through the congregation and introduce the child to the congregation. And they use the first name, whatever that first name may be, but they don't use the family name. This is Sally Christian, or Jeremy Christian, or Robert Christian. In baptism, that child is given an identity, the same identity we are given in our baptism. An identity that's meant to set us apart, not over the world, but apart from the world. An identity that can give us a new sense of purpose and vision, and a new way of looking at the world. When the world tries to tell you who you are, you only really need to have one answer ready at hand. I am baptized. Martin Luther shares in some of his writings when he was going through the struggle of the Reformation and when he was feeling tempted to give up the fight, when he's feeling tempted like it was too big for him or like he wasn't able to pay the price, that he would look at his desk and there written on his desk were simply the words, in German of course I'm translating, I am baptized. Sometimes he would even touch his forehead where the waters of baptism had been poured over them as a child. And for him, that's all he needed to rebut the temptations of Satan, was to be reminded of who he was. Sometimes it's easy to forget who we are. Sometimes it's easy to let the world lay a claim upon us. Sometimes it's easy to wonder if we really are who we claim to be. Those kinds of doubts are normal. Where we may not hear a voice when we are baptized, the hope is that, as we are told in Scripture, that God's Spirit communicates with our spirit, that we are children of God, that there is something that happens. Somehow in the pouring out of that Spirit, in the pouring out of that water, in the pouring out of that Spirit, we are claimed by God. I remember the first time I was introduced to a reaffirmation of baptism or a renewal of baptism vows, to this type of service, to this type of ritual. It's one that I hadn't used before. But I remember the power of coming forward and touching that water. So much so now that I use water every chance I get. If I go to the Abbey of the Genesee, there's always a little bowl of water when you walk into the chapel there if I go to pray, and I'll just dip my hand in it and touch it to my forehead, reminding me that I come as a child of God. And on the way out, I'll do the same thing. Sometimes I'll even make the sign of a cross or just let my hand dwell in the water. Sometimes take a little bit more and just touch the sides of my face. I've shared with you before how I like to look up in a light rain. Sometimes I'll even go out and lay on the hammock when it's not raining too hard and just let the water fall over me, as a reminder of what God has done for me in baptism. Sometimes it's easy to not want to remember who we are, because with the remembering comes obligation. We come to baptism and there's three things that happen. One is God's promise to us, God's promise that we are His, God's claim upon us. Our promise to God, sometimes that's a little trickier. And yet that's why we come, because we need from time to time to remember the promise we make. Because I don't know about you, but although God never fails in His promises to us, I think we're not quite as faithful in failing in our promises to God, in keeping our promises to God. And so this morning as we come, we can remember our baptism. You may not be able to recall it, that's not the same thing. You might have been baptized as a child. You don't have the memory of the water splashing over your head. And maybe when you're that age, that's a good thing. I've baptized enough babies that scream bloody murder where it made me realize whether I was doing them any good or not by baptizing them. But you can remember the fact that you are baptized. I wanted to share a little bit from a resource that the United Methodist Church puts out about this service this morning. In baptism, we are joined to God and to the whole church of Christ through a gracious covenant. A covenant implies an interaction between parties, and in the baptismal covenant, God promises that we are adopted son and daughters by divine goodness, not by anything we can merit or earn. In response, we promise to live as faithful people within the community of the church. God's promises are never broken, but we continually break our promises, if only by forgetting them. And therefore, we are called to renewal again and again. When we have affirmed our baptismal faith today through the vows, we will give thanks over the water by recalling God's mighty works of goodness towards us and towards all of creation. And in these actions, we gratefully remember our baptism. We gratefully remember God's mercy and strengthening power, and we remember our resolve, our desire to live as faithful Christians. After we go through the baptismal service, we will go directly into communion. And yet when you come forward, you may pause at the font. Maybe you just want to pause for a moment and look at the water and say, "Thank you, Lord." Maybe you want to take your hand and swish it around a little bit. Take it and touch it to your cheeks or to your forehead. Maybe with a wet finger, make a cross on your forehead. Or if you are so bold, for some of this is a part of your tradition, and I'm comfortable doing this, but some of you may not be, you can touch your forehead and mark yourself with the sign of the cross. And after that, then you will go to the stations to receive communion. And if you wish to just bypass the font, that is fine as well. If someone's here this morning that's not baptized, you obviously can't renew vows that you have never taken. But this is an opportunity for you to consider, to listen to the vows, and to think. To say, is this something I want to do for myself? Is this something I want God to do in my life? Am I willing and able and ready to take those vows? And if that's true, then let me know. And we can begin the process of moving towards that. And so we will come this morning to remember our baptism and be thankful. Now, who knows, maybe God will perform a miracle and we'll hear from heavens a voice just like they heard at Jesus' baptism. I'm not sure most of us could handle that if that did happen. But I pray that you hear that voice in your heart and in your soul, reminding you that through baptism you are God's child. You have been claimed and called by name. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before I forget, when we do serve communion, the stations will be off to the side of either font, so you could easily come by and either bypass it or stop there. If you would take the insert and please join with me as we renew our baptism together. Sisters and brothers in Christ, through the sacrament of baptism, God's Spirit has been poured out upon water. Water poured over and immersing us. Water that flows freely for all who will receive it. Water from the streams of God's saving power and justice. Water that brings hope to all who thirst for righteousness. Water that refreshes life, nurtures growth, and offers new birth. Today we come to these waters to renew our commitments in each other's presence to Christ who has raised us, to the Spirit who has birthed us, and to the Creator who is making us new. I'm going to ask all the congregation to stand, and those who wish to renew their vows this morning, please join me in the following litany. And so I ask you, will you turn away from the powers of sin and death? It's the spiritual forces of wickedness. Reject the evil powers of this world and repent of our sin. Will you let the Spirit use you as prophets to the powers that be? We accept the freedom and power God gives us to resist evil, injustice, and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves. Will you proclaim the good news and live as disciples of Jesus Christ, his body on earth? We confess Jesus Christ as our Savior, put our whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as our Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races. Will you be living witnesses to the gospel, individually and together, wherever you are and in all that you do? We will remain faithful members of Christ's holy church and serve as Christ's representatives in the world. Will you receive and profess the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments? We affirm and teach the faith of the whole church as we put our trust in God the Father Almighty, in Jesus Christ, his only Son, and in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. You may be seated. The Spirit of the Lord is with us. Let us pray. Almighty God, the life you birthed in us by baptism into Jesus Christ will never die. Your justice never fails. Your mercy is everlasting. Your healing river flows. Your Spirit blows where you will. We cannot stop you, God. But sometimes we try. We try to block the flow. We redirect the winds of the Spirit, or we walk so far away from the life-giving stream that we do not hear its sound, and we forget its power. We parch ourselves. We're dry and thirsty, O God. Come, refresh us. Come upon us, Holy Spirit. Come upon these waters. Let these waters be to us drops of your mercy. Let these waters renew in us the resurrection power of Jesus.
Let these waters make us long for your coming.
Most holy God, Abba, Father.
Glory to you.
Jesus Christ, Savior, Lord. Glory to you. Spirit of fire, Spirit over the waters, Spirit of holiness. Glory to you. Eternal God, one in three and three in one. All glory is yours now and forever. Amen. Brothers and sisters, remember that you have been baptized in the name of the Father. Remember that you have been baptized in the name of the Son. And remember that you have been baptized in the name of the Holy Spirit. And be thankful. Christ invites to this his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sins, and who seek to live in peace with God and with each other. We've already confessed our sins in the pastoral prayer, and I pray that you know the reality of the assurance of your forgiveness through Jesus Christ. I do want to add that in the Methodist Church, you don't need to be a Methodist or a member of this church to partake. When we say Christ invites all to his table, we mean that. Please pray with me. As we give our hearts and thanks to God, we pray. Blessed are you, O God, who with your word and Holy Spirit created all things and called them good. In Jesus Christ, your word became flesh and dwelt among us, and through Jesus' suffering and death, you took upon yourself our sin and death and destroyed their power forever. You raised from the dead this same Jesus who now reigns with you in glory, and you poured upon us your Holy Spirit, making us the people of your new covenant. On the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took bread. He gave thanks to you. He gave it to his disciples and said, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, Jesus took the cup, again gave thanks to you, Lord, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Drink from this, every one of you, for this cup is my blood of a new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do it in remembrance of me. And so, Lord, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus, we offer ourselves to you as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us gathered here and upon these gifts that are before us. Make them be for us the body and the blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all this world until Christ returns in final victory and we feast at his heavenly table. With Christ, in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. And the church said, Amen. Because there is one loaf, we who are many are one body. The bread which we break is a sharing in the body of Christ. And the cup over which we have given thanks is a sharing in the blood of Christ. Would those who are assisting please come forward? These are God's gift for you, God's people. Come and be thankful. Almighty God, we thank you for these mysteries, the mystery of baptism and the mystery of your table. Through somehow in these normal, ordinary means of bread and wine and of water, you accomplish amazingly spiritual outcomes, pouring out your spirit, filling us with your grace, transforming us through your presence. Thank you, Lord, for the work that you have done. May we go from here as transformed people, claimed by you, to be lights shining in the darkness. In Jesus' name, amen. Sometimes when it's exceptionally cold out, I like to share a blessing that reminds us more of warmer days. And so go, brothers and sisters, and may the road rise to meet you. May the wind blow gently on your back, the sun shine warmly on your face, the rain or snow fall gently on your fields. And until we meet again, know that God holds you in the palm of his hand. And everyone said, Amen. Amen.